Amen. Amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Psalm 42, Psalm 42, and we're going to start a new series today, and so this is going to kind of launch us into that new series, just kind of kick off the new series here today in Psalms 42, and as you turn there, I was driving, taking my daughter to dance last week, and we were on our way there. My daughter, my oldest daughter, Ellie, and my youngest daughter was in the back seat, and we were driving, and there was a lady that was pushing a stroller, and I could see like a dog's head sticking out the front of the stroller, and I was like trying to figure out, I was like, man, is she pushing just a dog, or is she pushing a dog and a baby? What is it? And Ellie goes, no, I think it's just a dog. And so here she's pushing this dog, and my daughter in the back seat goes, some people do some weird things. I was like, yes, they do. And so anyways, the life of the McCanns, right? So Psalm 42, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, read with me, starting at verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. And today, I want to start this series today. The series that I have entitled, A Healthy Church Is, but with been talking on this topic of question for your soul. Question for your soul. So if you're taking notes, would you write that title down? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we love you. And we thank you for what you're going to do today. We thank you for what you have done so far. And so, Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive your word today in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Well, we're beginning a new series here this morning, and we're going to be talking on the topic that really this idea of what it really means to be healthy. And this is a huge topic because it affects everything about us as individuals and us as a church. I'm sure that you've all probably heard it said before, healthy things grow, right? Have you ever heard that? Well, that is true. Even healthy weeds grow. Right? I mean, I got some healthy weeds in my yard right now, and they seem to be growing like never before, right? I mean, you guys know, though, those weeds begin to choke out the healthy parts of the plants. So just because it's growing doesn't necessarily mean it's healthy. And have you ever noticed how much goes into just our bodies to be healthy? Have you ever noticed that? Our bodies are so complex. And have you noticed that if just there's one thing that's out of alignment, it can mess everything else up? Like, think of just our backs, right? Like, think of our backs. Have you ever slipped a disc in your back? Or have you ever had your back just kind of slightly out of alignment? Someone just said every day. So, chiropractor? No? Okay. And, when I was younger, when I was probably in my late teens, I went to the chiropractor like 3 times a week because my hips are offset. And so because my hips are offset, my back leans the opposite way. And I get headaches a lot because of that. So I used to have to go to the chiropractor 3 days a week because of that very fact. And I probably should still go. But the purpose of me going to the chiropractor is so that way they could make sure that everything is in right alignment. So that way I function correctly. My body functions correctly. You remember the snowstorm that hit several years ago? There was just tons of snow. We actually had 24 inches of snow up here at the church, and we had to cancel multiple services. That was just crazy. It was right around Christmas time, and Jill and I, we went to Fred Meyer's for last-minute Christmas shopping. Jill, can you come help me? And so here's my wife and I. We were walking, and we park at the Fred Meyer parking lot, and the parking lot was insane. Jill was pregnant. And we're walking through this scary, like, parking lot that had iced over snow, everything like that. And so we're walking really gingerly, you know. And she, out of the corner of my eye, I see her kind of do some, like, weird twitch like that, right? And I literally thought she was falling. And so I'm, like, going, man, I got to catch her. Well, in the midst of me catching her, I literally just went, shoo, bam, right on my back in the middle of Fred Meyer parking lot. That's exactly what Jill was doing. And all I could do, the only thing I could do, I'm okay. That's all I did. And so I get up, and thanks, Jill.
Can I say that before he fell, his legs went.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that tidbit of information. And you ever tried to run on ice? Yeah, me neither. And so I thought I was okay. You know, I'm like, dude, I'm all right. A few days went by, and I realized I was not okay. Dude, it hurt to breathe. And so I made an appointment for the chiropractor. Come to find out, one of my ribs popped out of place. I don't know if you ever had that happen, but that's not fun. And so I had to go and see someone that knew what they were doing to pop that thing back into place. And it hurt. But, oh, it felt so good afterwards. Have you ever driven a car that your car is out of alignment? Doesn't it just naturally kind of pull one side or the other? You know what I'm talking about? The reality is that if you leave your car out of alignment, it begins to ruin parts in your front end. It begins to ruin your tires. Isn't it the same way with you and I in our life? When things are out of alignment on the inside of who we are, we tend to naturally get pulled one way or the other, and it's usually the wrong way. Have you ever noticed that? Here's my big idea for you and I here today. Is the health of your soul will determine the quality of your fruit. The health of your soul will determine the quality of your fruit. See, what happens on the inside of you and what happens on the inside of me will eventually come out. It will eventually take place on the outside. And so this morning, I have a question for you. How's your soul? How's your soul? How are you doing, really doing on the inside of who you are? See, when you look at these plants over here, one is sickly and dying. It needs help. So if you have a green thumb, maybe you could bring it back to life, but I think it's beyond help. But there's also this plant here that is alive and green. Now, how many of you guys know in order to keep this plant green and healthy, we have to make sure that we feed the right elements in the soil so that way the roots can stay healthy. The reality is that if you and I could dig deep beneath this soil of this plant, we could find out like what really is going on beneath the surface in the root system. Sure, we could treat some of the symptoms on the outside, but how many of you guys know that if we were actually to go beneath the surface and treat the root problem, this tree would actually get healthier quicker? Isn't it the same way with you and I today? Sometimes we just mask the outer symptoms with medication instead of dealing with the inner part of our soul. Sometimes we deal with the outer part of who we are by just, you know, supplementing things instead of really asking the tough questions on the inside and saying, man, how is my soul?
Yeah, that's good.
How am I really doing? See, we cannot grow healthy churches if we ourselves are not willing to address issues deep beneath the surface of our lives. It is impossible for a Christian to be spiritually mature while remaining immature on the inside of who you are.
Right. Yeah. So good.
The book of Genesis tells us that you and I were created in the image of God. And when you look at the Godhead throughout the books of the Bible, you come to the realization that our God is a three-part being. He's three yet one. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's two parts invisible, one part visible. No one has seen the Father except the Son, and no one can see the Holy Spirit, right? There's two parts invisible, one part visible, being the Son, Jesus Christ. He was the visible one. The Bible tells us in Colossians that he is the fullness in the Godhead in physical form. And so the Bible, I guess you have to ask yourselves, is the Bible, when it says that we're made in the image of God, is the Bible referring to certain aspects that link us to God, like the fact that we can think logically? Surely it does. However, when you look at the scriptures, there you see certain verses that imply a three-part makeup in who you and I are as well. For example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless." It's all of you. It's intertwined. It's this three-part part of who you are. And everything obviously would depend on your theological persuasion, your theological bent, because there's some people that would say, hey, you know, spirit and soul are interchangeable. Others would say, you know, soul and heart are interchangeable. And there's cases in the scripture where that may be true. However, if you interpret it saying, oh, hey, spirit and soul is interchangeable, then you would lean towards that we are a two-part being. You would say, hey, I just believe that it's just one makeup and we're just two parts, inner and outer. But the reality is that the consistent breakdown within scripture seems to imply three parts. And here's why this is important. And let me just say this up front. Regardless of which way you lean, whether you're like, I'm a two-part person, I'm a three-part person, I don't think that's the point, okay? For the sake of me diving into scripture based on the consistency of scripture, I would say it leans more towards a three-part being than a two-part being, but you can decide for yourself, okay? So with that being said, we are a three-part being, which means the first part that the scriptures tell us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, may your whole spirit, okay? This is the invisible side of who you are, but this is the God-conscious side of you. The Bible says in Proverbs that our spirit is the connecting line between us and God. The Bible says in John, it says that we can only worship our Heavenly Father in spirit, right? And truth, right? So it's that spiritual side of who we are. The Bible says that we are spiritually dead until we are reborn in Christ, okay? But that's the first part. Second part is our soul. Our soul is invisible as well. I mean, you and I can't look and go, man, Rodney's got a good-looking soul. You know, you can't, I mean, that's just weird and creepy, right? I mean, you can't see each other's souls, all right? Have you ever heard someone, he's like, looking in my soul, right? Like, we can't do that. It's invisible. But this is the self-conscious side of who you are. This is that inner part that makes up you, your personality on the inside. But it also is the body is the third part, is our body. This is the visible side, and we see each other's bodies. And so this is the world-conscious side of who you are. This is how you act out or live out what is going on inside of who you are. Have you ever noticed that your soul, whatever way your soul leans, that is the way you're going to live? If your soul leans more towards your flesh, your body, you're going to act out more in a fleshly way, right? If your soul leans more towards your spiritual man, because your soul is just the middle man. So the question you have to ask yourself is, how is your soul? How is your soul? See, whichever way your soul leans dictates the direction of your life. See, your soul is made up of a few things that really does impact how you are on the inside. And again, however, when I say a three-part being, please hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we're made up of three separate entities, okay? Like we could separate each other up here on stage. Okay, Plato in classical Greek, that was his philosophy. His philosophy was that we are literally made up in three different sections or two different sections. And it really, that's how Gnosticism was formed in the day. Gnosticism is like, you know, the spiritual side is good and the physical side is bad. And the reality is that the spiritual and the physical never intermix. That was their thinking. That's Plato. Platonism, okay? That's not what I'm talking about, okay? It's very hard for us to distinguish between your soul and spirit. Now, the Bible can do that. The Holy Spirit can do that, but you and I can't. It makes up everything. We are what we are. We're all together. You might be like, that's confusing. I know. I think the moment we try and figure this thing out, the more we go down rabbit holes of arguments that are not necessary. Right? The reality is this. Who you are on the inside will come out. Who you really are on the inside of your soul affects your spiritual life. Who you are on the inside of who you are will dictate how you live out this life in the physical realm. That's the reality. And you look at Colossians chapter 3, 8 and 9. But now yourselves are to put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Can I just say this, and maybe I'll get hate mail after this, but I am so sick and tired of seeing people that cuss and say they're Christians. Just let that sink in. Filthy language out of your mouth is supposed to be put off. I'll move on. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Ephesians 4:22, that you may put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You and I are supposed to put all that stuff off, right? Jesus in his teachings in Matthew chapter 15, 18 through 20, he said this, but these things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are which defile a man. So what's the point? Paul here is reaffirming what Jesus was teaching, saying, hey, there's certain things that are attached to the old way of life that you've got to put to death. Because if you and I don't get these things out of us, they will come back to haunt us. They will pull us down. They'll trip us up every single time. And Jesus, he is like, when he said that out of the heart, because the Hebrews believed that your heart was the core of your soul. So when he said that, they would be like going, what Jesus is saying is the innermost part of what makes you you. That's what he's talking about. That's the part that you and I need God's help to clean up. That's the part that you and I have to really ask ourselves the tough questions and say, how is my soul? How is my soul? See, your soul, again, it depends on theologically how you make this up, but your soul is made up of three things. When you really study out the soul, you'll see over and over a pattern of what theologians and scholars believe, that there's three things that make up the soul. And there's so much that goes into this, and we don't have the time to like dive into this fully, but here's just three things. It's not on the PowerPoint, but the first thing that makes up your soul is your mind. Is your mind. And how many of you guys know how you think up here? That's the battle. Right? Yeah. How you really think inside creates desires in you, doesn't it? Because the thing you think about most creates a desire, and the desires that stir in your life, if you don't learn how to manage those, will eventually come out of your life. Job 23:13 says that it was the desires within him that came out of him. It stirred his actions. See, the desires that are inside you and I could be good or bad, right? It depends on the context. So like you saying here this morning, man, I desire to fall more in love with Jesus. That's a good desire. For you to sit there and say, man, I desire to fall more in love with my spouse. That's a good desire. But if you're here today going, man, I hope and pray I fall in love with someone else, and you have like no business of falling in love with someone else, guess what? That's a bad desire. Right? So it depends on the context. And so this is the battle of our mind. What really happens on the inside of your mind affects everything. We're going to dive into more of that next week. But the second part of your soul is the will. I believe with all my heart that God wants to change your have to a want to. He doesn't want your will to just like, you know, just got to muster up. I think that's good. And sometimes we have to pull our bootstraps up and just like do the things that we need to do. But how many of you guys know that God wants to change that to where you just, there's this desire in you that's like, I want to. He wants to change that. But then also it's your emotions. Your emotions make up your soul. Have you ever thought about something in your mind and you played out a scenario in your mind and it stirred your emotions and it wasn't reality? Matter of fact, it stirred so much up here that it caused your emotions just to go crazy. And you came up with this wild story in your mind of a situation that's not even reality. And now your emotions are going crazy. And all of a sudden now you're like, you don't even stop the process. And then all of a sudden you feel like you're going crazy. Like, not me, but maybe. Like, isn't it crazy how your thought processes can stir your emotions in such a way that you act out in ways that you normally wouldn't? What we have done in church, and I've been guilty of this, is sometimes we could poo-poo our emotions. God created us emotional beings. So it's not like God, once you become a Christian, God's like, let's just cut those emotions off. Because how many of you guys know life would not be that fun if we had no emotions? Like, no one would ever cry at Christmas Hallmark movies, right? I mean, I'm not saying I do that, maybe you, but like, emotional side, like emotionless Christianity is not the goal. The goal is for you and I to learn how to control our emotions in a godly way. But how many of you guys know there's a process to that? Have you ever gotten angry about something that afterwards you were like, that was really dumb? For reals, right? You're like, dude, that was just stupid. I have so many stories going through my head right now of things I'm just like, dude, seriously? That was dumb. We've got to understand that this matters. And the reason why this matters is because it is impossible for Christians to be spiritually mature while remaining immature or unhealthy on the inside. It's impossible. I mean, our standard of what it means to be spiritual totally bypasses many glaring inconsistencies. I mean, in the American church, we have come to accept the fact that you could be a dynamic, gifted speaker of God in public and be an unloving spouse and parent at home. That you could function as a church leader or pastor and be unteachable, insecure, and defensive. That you could memorize entire books of the New Testament and still be unaware of your depression and anger, even displacing it on other people. That you can fast and pray half a day every week for years as a spiritual discipline and constantly be critical of others, justifying it as discernment. You can be involved in Christian ministry while driven by a deep personal need to compensate for a nagging sense of failure. You can pray for deliverance from the demonic realm when in reality you are simply avoiding conflict, repeating an unhealthy pattern of behavior traced back to the home in which you grew up. You can even be outwardly cooperative at church, but unconsciously try to undercut or defeat your leader by coming habitually late, constantly forgetting meetings, withdrawing and becoming apathetic, or ignoring real issues behind why you are hurt and angry. All of this matters because what is really happening on the inside of who you are and who I am affects every area of our life. How's your soul? I believe that this psalm that we read here this morning gives you and I some insights into this very topic, and it gives us some keys to begin to become healthy within our souls. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2 says this: as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Man, our souls thirst. And the reality is that we will only find true satisfaction when we drink from the living water found in God. Yeah. See, even Jesus said in John chapter 4 that when we drink of the water that he gives us, we will never thirst again. See, when you and I are drinking from other things apart from God, have you ever noticed that your soul begins to become parched within? You begin to slowly die. See, David is This is what the psalmist is talking about. He's talking about David. David was at a spot where he realized how thirsty his soul really was and that he needed to drink of God. Verse 4 says this, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast." It was David. It was when David spent time going to the house of God with the people of God that things were different. Have you ever noticed how life seems to get harder to navigate when you are disconnected from God's house and his people? I believe that's designed by the enemy purposefully. And the reason why is because the enemy wants to do whatever he can to separate you from the very people that can help you move forward in your life. Yeah. See why? Why does he do this? Because if he could separate you from other people, you become an easier target. Yeah. And isn't it true that when you separate yourself from really people going in the right direction, you are more prone to going down the wrong path? Yeah. Some of you right now, you go, no, I'm stronger than that. No, you're not. The Bible says, take heed lest you, I didn't say that, the Bible said that, right? Like, we have to be very careful that we think, oh, I got this. You don't have this, neither do I. That's why we need each other. That's why we spend time in the house of God. That's why we encourage one another. The Bible says, let's encourage each other, build each other up until the day of God approaches. So we got to keep doing this. We got to keep going after this. David understood this. He knew there was a difference in his life. Psalm 42, verse 5. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" David was at a place where the inner part of who he was discouraged. See, that phrase, cast down, in the Hebrew, has this idea of meaning downcast, heartsick. It also has this idea of pertaining to being in an attitude of feeling of despair and low spirits, with a focus on lack of hope when focused on a distressing situation. It also carries this meaning of this, to lose one's motivation to accomplish some valid goal, or to become discouraged, to lose heart, to give up. Have you ever got to a spot in life where you just felt like giving up? Ever felt like throwing in the towel? Maybe you're discouraged because life isn't turning out the way that you thought it would. Maybe you're heartsick because you feel that God hasn't come through the way that you thought he would. Well, Pastor Josh, I prayed for things to be different over and over and over and over again, and nothing seems to change. I just want to quit. What do you do when you get there? How do you respond? How do you get back on the right track to being healthy within your soul? I believe David gives us a few keys that we're just going to begin this discussion today, and we'll continue throughout this series. But I believe the very first thing and the very first key that you and I need to do in order for us to answer that question, the question for your soul, how's your soul? Number one is this: ask yourself the tough questions. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you discouraged? Why are you feeling that way? Why do you feel angry? Why do you feel anxious? Why? You and I have to be okay with asking ourselves those tough questions. Sometimes we shy away from those things. Many of you know that last year, my wife and I, we took in a young girl to live with us for a short season. And she got taken out of her home. It was displaced. And she asked the people that, CPS and stuff, they asked her the question, hey, who do you feel comfortable staying with? And she brought up our names, and she was friends with our kids. And so we had a family meeting, and all of our kids were like, yes, let's do this. And so we took her into our home, and she lived with us. She shared a bedroom downstairs with our daughter. And through that season, I began to realize that I was more patient with her than I was my other kids. And it really bothered me. And I had to begin to ask myself tough questions. Like, why? Why am I being more patient with her, but then when my kids do something, I'm more impatient? What is really going on the inside of who I am? And what I believe God revealed to me through this whole process is he said, Josh, I am allowing this process to take place in your life because there's things that have to come out of you so you can become a better. But I had to be willing to ask the tough question of why. Because how many of you guys know if we're not willing to ask why am I blank, we can miss out on the right answer. But how many of you guys know that you and I have to be okay with the answer that we receive? Isn't it true that we're like, no, 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 I'm better than that? It's so-and-so that needs help. Like, I'm okay on the inside, but I'm so glad Mary Rose is here because she has issues. Right? Isn't that what we tend to do instead of just like, okay, God, what are you trying to reveal to me? What's going on inside of who I am? Why am I so angry? Why am I depressed? Isn't the depressing thing about depression is that you get more depressed because you don't want to be depressed? Isn't that true? Like, you're like David. Like, why are you cast down? There's no reason for you to be cast down. Why is your soul discouraged? I don't know. Isn't that? I'm a guy, but I feel like I'm pregnant. I don't know, right? Like, it's like, what in the world is going on? But we have to be okay, because if we really want to get healthy in our souls, we have to be okay with asking the question, the tough questions, what's really going on? And I believe here today, some of you have been avoiding asking those questions, and then you wonder why you're down the same path over and over and over again. You have got to be willing to ask yourself the tough questions, but you also have to be okay with the answer that comes your way. Key number two is this: hold on to your hope in God. Why are you cast down, my soul? And then David, Jesus, see how he switches? Hope in God. Even when you're discouraged, even when you feel like giving up, even when you want to quit, he's like, hope in God. 1 Corinthians 13:13, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. Romans 4:18, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. Abraham, when he couldn't see God directly moving in his life, he put his trust and confidence in the promises of God over his life. When you can't feel God's hand, put your hope in God's character. That's so good, I'm going to say it again. When you can't feel God's hand, put your hope in God's character. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he said he'll walk through the mess with you, he will walk through the mess with you. If he said he'll get you to the other side, you better believe he's going to get you to the other side. If he said that bankruptcy is not going to be the final say, he's going to make sure bankruptcy is not the final say. If he promised you that, like, you maybe you're going through a divorce, listen, friends, divorce is not final. It is not final. Hear me today. You can move past that. He has a great future for you. Maybe you're today and you're struggling with pornography. You do not have to struggle any longer. You can put your hope and trust in God, but you have to ask yourself the tough questions. If you're wondering why you're still struggling with porn and you're still getting on the computer, what's the answer? Get off the computer. Well, I can't, Pastor Jolly. I mean, this is the 21st century. Why can't you? Maybe for the season of your life, you have to, so that way you can be stronger later. Yeah, come on. Lastly, number three, as the worship team comes today. Number three is anchor yourself to Christ. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And who enters the presence behind the veil. Jesus entered the presence behind the veil. He did it on your behalf and my behalf. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The anchor of my soul. He's using shipping terminology. Because the reality is if you and I don't anchor ourselves to something, we will drift. Have you ever noticed that? You cannot anchor yourself to another person because they're broken just like you, right? I mean, they're broken like you are. I mean, people can encourage us and come alongside of us to walk this life with us, but at the end of the day, they are flawed and have the potential to drift just like you. So you can't anchor yourself to your job because one day your job's going to be gone. You can't anchor yourself to your spouse or your family. Yes, they're a helpmate, but they don't take the place of Jesus. Yes, they're there to encourage you, but you've got to anchor yourself to something that's bigger than you, that's bigger than them. You can't anchor yourself even to your pastor. Left to ourselves, we will slowly drift because the only true anchor for our souls is Jesus, the immovable rock. This matters because the health of your soul will determine the quality of your fruit. I close with these thoughts to penetrate, to get you to think, to ponder. And then we're going to worship today because we're going to go after the anchor that truly will help you not drift in life. He is the one that will help you and I become healthy on the inside. So here's some questions. Are there questions that you are too afraid to ask yourself? That this morning the Holy Spirit is prodding you to get real with yourself and ask. Are you here this morning and you're on the verge of quitting because you're just quite frankly discouraged? Have you been drifting in your life because you have been anchoring yourself to the wrong things, and this morning you realize that the only true anchor is Jesus? Yes, you're a believer, but you've got to truly anchor yourself so that way you can quit drifting and start thriving. How's your soul? We're going to sing this song here today because I felt like it was so fitting for this moment. However you need to respond right now this morning, and I'm going to invite you to stand in just a second, but however you need to respond here this morning, we have plenty of time. Maybe you need to find a spot just out of your seat because you've been anchored to the wrong thing in a symbolic act of saying, hey, I'm coming and I'm anchoring myself to Jesus from this time forward. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you just need to come and just kneel at the altars and cry out to God with a piece of paper and say, God, I haven't been asking myself the right questions and I need to reveal some things in my heart. I don't like where I'm at and I want to go forward. Maybe this is your moment to get those answers that you need. Maybe you're here today and you realize that you're not healthy at all on the inside. And this morning you're saying, Pastor Josh, as I sing this song, I mean, let this be a prophetic declaration over my life. So would you stand today and let's respond. Let's respond this morning. Some of you need to come forward. Some of you need to cry out. But let's sing this song and let's cry out to Jesus, the true anchor, the true one that can help you in your time of need right now. Come on.
The highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but He brought me in with His love for me. Oh, His love for me. When the sun sets free, oh, it's free. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Free at last, He has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. While I was sin Jesus died for. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I
this morning.
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
We declare in our Father's house.
In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes,
last night when I was praying at my house, and since this morning too, and this might sound really generic, but I just can't get this out of my mind, and that is, you're here today and you're struggling with depression. I believe that God wants to shift things in your life today. I believe that today God wants to take that sorrow and begin to bring joy. I believe even right now, the Holy Spirit's saying to me that you've been told it's been a chemical imbalance. And I'm here to tell you that it is not at all. And God's going to deliver you from that. If that's you here today, and you've been struggling with depression, and today you want to acknowledge that by saying, hey, I don't care who's around me. I don't care who's beside me. I just know that I've got to anchor myself to Jesus right now, because the joy needs to start coming over my life. If that is you, begin to lift up your hands right now in this place, and let's just pray and declare over you right now in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, God, right now in the name of Jesus, joy come over. Joy fill right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place, God. Jesus. Come on, you saw several hounds raised for that, but also you're here today. Norm came forward. He really felt like one of them is him. But also, he also felt this, is that you're battling with anger. And he said this, these are his word. They need to be called out. He said that.
Glory.
But you're here today, and that's you. Listen, there's freedom here today.
Yes.
You are not what the enemy says you are. You are a child of God. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, you are a child of God. You have joy overflowing in your life. You have peace overflowing into your life. But you've got to reach out to Jesus right now. And that's you. And you're battling with anger. I don't know who you are. But would you just, as a sign, just say, God, that's me. And would you just lift up your hand right now and say, Pastor Josh, right now. Amen. 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 Come on, let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, every single hand that has been lifted, God, peace of God, come over them right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come. And Lord, I pray that anger would lift in Jesus' name. Just as a weight coming off of their ankles, God, I pray that they would feel just this weight leaving right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, God, that if it's anger because of unforgiveness, Lord, I pray right now that a forgiving heart would come in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, break their hearts right now for the things that break yours. Holy Spirit, do a deep work. Do a deep work beneath the surface. Lord, I pray right now that you begin to correct the root systems in their life. Forgiveness flowing out of their life. Peace flowing out of their life. Joy flowing out of their life right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that whatever is going deep beneath would be corrected by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. And God, I pray for the rest of us in this room. God, I pray that you would just continue to do a deep work in our hearts. Because God, we want to be healthy. God, we want to be healthy because God, we realize and understand that how healthy we are on the inside will directly affect the fruit that we see on the outside. And God, we want to see your fruit because your word declares that you want to see fruit and fruit that remains. And so Lord, we pray, God, that you would just do a deep work inside of every single one of us. Lord, as we leave today, God, I pray that just even situations and thoughts and ideas and questions would just rise up within us, God, that you want us to wrestle with throughout this week. But Lord, I pray that we would get alone with you and that we would wrestle in Jesus' name. And Lord, that you would give us a heart to receive the answer that comes our way. And so, Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Hey, if you're new here today, would you just stop by, grab some coffee, grab a donut, say hi, just give us 10 minutes. If you don't want either, hey, come shake my hand. We have a free gift for you as well. So we'll see you right across in the gym. Otherwise, we'll see you guys next week. Pre-service prayer, 9:30, and service at 10:30. Take care.